And Senator Ford, I believe, is on personal business.
He is, and the senator wanted me to say greetings to everybody. This is spring break, as everybody knows, and he has gone to Dallas. It was grandparents' weekend in his granddaughter's school, and so him and Mary went to Dallas, and so he sends greetings to everybody. And sorry that he missed the show today, but trust me, he will be back.
I have no doubt. He's dedicated to serving his community, and he'll be here to report. Yeah. Earl, I know just as budget chairman, you've been extremely busy, but I'm sure that's not the only thing that you've gotten accomplished this week at the Capitol either.
Well, Charlie, first of all, this is a very interesting week that we've just completed. And the entire time we're down there, every week is extremely busy. But this is really the only week that I always say is a very light week, and simply because deadline was a week ago in both chambers. So now then all the Senate bills come over to us, and all the House bills go over to the Senate. Well, you got to have a little transfer there of everybody sorting out, getting the bills, and how we're going to assign them. So that's why you kind of have a light week. So there wasn't really much committee work going on. And in fact, we adjourned on Wednesday. We weren't even in on Thursday, but still a lot of work's going on. But again, it's just kind of a light week in regards to there's still people want to visit with you and talk to you. And in fact, we had several teachers that Representative Dunlap and I and Senator Ford, I believe it was on Tuesday, wasn't it?
Tuesday.
Had a delightful meeting with probably, I don't know, there was probably 10 or 12 teachers there. And just had a great meeting with them. So we had those things going on. But you know what? Let me give you a quick update on the budget. What I'm excited about next week on Monday, on the House side, we started early on developing. I went to the Speaker and I said, I'd like to develop small groups in regards to having areas of the budget that we can look at proposals and ideas. And that's the approach the House took it, and Senator Ford. The Senate did a little bit different in what they're doing, but on the House side, we had all these working groups. All of our working groups have met, looked at ideas, areas in the budget, things they'd like to do, maybe an increase, and maybe a particular tax, quite frankly, the tobacco tax, and which the governor recommended. And then looking at exemptions, looking at credits, and on Monday, our caucus will report back to the full, all the working groups will report back to the full caucus in regards to some of the things that we might do to help us in this budget. Now, you need to know in our budget on any given day, we have a pools of money we can go to, but the problem is after you use those pools of money, rainy day fund, unclaimed property fund, cash reserve, you still have a number left that you have to go find. And if you don't come up with these ideas to help us in this huge downturn that we have, meaning the energy sector, if you don't do something and you just go to cutting, I mean, the cuts are just horrendous. It's just that simple. And again, I think everybody knows, and I think I was telling you, you and I were talking before this radio show, I'm a little frustrated. There's some people I don't know that really have the full impact. I mean, we're going through an energy downturn that has hurt our budget. It's just been devastating to our budget. And not so much, well, it is the downturn in the energy sector, but it's the people that are connected to the energy sector. We're still laying people off in these oil companies, which is those people are now no longer paying income tax. But we're going to get through it, and I'm very excited about Monday. And the other exciting thing I want to announce today, oil closed yesterday at $41.90, and that is a good move.
And it's Earl, I want to get to Travis here for just a moment, but before, if you don't mind, don't you think part of it is that they look at their counterparts in other states, regardless of what sector of government they get their funding from, and they say, but other states, particularly the ones that can deficit spend, are giving their programs money, but I'm not getting my share.
I couldn't agree more. And right or wrong, you have the debate all day long.
Yeah.
What drives the economic engine of the great state of Oklahoma is energy, aviculture, and tourism. Aviculture is alive and well. Markets are a little soft there in areas. Tourism is people are coming, thank goodness, in Oklahoma. Those revenue streams are up. But that energy sector and everything that is connected to that, it's down. It will come back. I don't know what the oil is today, but yesterday it was $41.90, which is good, and the market's even rallied. And it will come back, but you're right. In other states, they have other economic bases. But in the oil regions, meaning Texas, Louisiana, New Mexico, I mean, they're having the same downturn that we're having.
Right. Okay. Mr. Dunlap, good morning, sir.
Good morning, Charlie. Thanks for having us again.
Happy to have you in here. So, and I know that you had a somewhat busy week. You commented before we started that there was a bill you wanted to have heard in committee, but it just didn't happen.
Yeah, I mean, it is a light week overall. I was trying to get things done and get ahead of the work that's to come, and I had a very, very simple bill I just taking over for a senator that didn't get scheduled, so it'll get scheduled Monday, it'll move on, no problem. But as we're taking on these Senate bills and some of these issues, it'll just take a while to get the bills assigned, get everything on board, file the amendments that want to be filed, all those things, and then getting through the committee process. So I'm working on a bill that's very important to the Family Promise Ministry here in Bartlesville. And so I took that over from Senator Ford, and he did some wonderful groundwork on that. So it's going to hopefully be a very easy thing going forward as people begin to understand the intention of the bill. Now, the intention of the bill is to allow churches to do what they basically have always done. And I even hesitate to use the word allow, like they would even need to get permission to do it. This is ensuring that they can keep doing what they have been doing and ensure that government won't get in the way of them doing that. And that is the fact that every church occasionally will have overnight visitors, whether it's a youth lock-in, whether it's a visiting mission team, something along those lines where the facility is being used in an overnight capacity and people are either sleeping or are staying in the building late. So churches have always done that. This particular ministry, Family Promise, hopes to utilize those services the churches have always provided to help transient families get on their feet into more permanent housing situations. And I am very excited to be part of the effort to ensure that churches will never be in trouble in terms of governmental policy when they're doing these acts of service, this ministry of brotherly love. So we're beginning the process of working through that. There are people with questions about the bill, so I'm trying to get around and talk to everybody with questions and make sure that we're doing it in such a way that it doesn't affect the insurance rates of churches or doesn't affect the any complications that may arise. That's just in my mind, that's the journey of legislation, is you have an idea and you put it out there and then you figure out what might be unintended consequences or what might be the fluctuations in the everyday life so that you can minimize those as much as possible. So that's the journey we're on. And again, Ford did an amazing job clearing a lot of the brush out of the way. And so we're just taking it across the finish line, we hope.
Sounds like a plan. And you alerted to the fact that Family Promise is pretty active here.
And, yes, there's three communities in which there's already some momentum building in Oklahoma. And that's in Lawton, Shawnee, and Bartlesville. And so hopefully the other representatives from those areas will help me and participate in the process going forward. I may even get a few co-authors to come online. I will make a comment on these working groups that Sears keeps talking about. One of the things that has fascinated me as I've learned more and more about the tax structure in Oklahoma is that there are taxes on the book that a lot of people don't pay for. And one of them being this tax on internet sales.
Mm-hmm. And so about 4% pay.
Yeah, about 4%, which is tells me a couple of things. I don't know exactly what to conclude about it, but I'm one of those 4%, so I always make sure to add it up and remit what I'm supposed to remit. And
do you actually do the math, or
do the math.
Okay, as opposed to you are allowed to just a percentage of, you know.
Of course, there's a recommended percentage, but I do a lot of my purchasing online, not because I don't support local business, buy local, but because I have a lot of specialty items that I deal with in my business. And so because of that, I add it up every year. I do the calculation, I send it in, and I just assume that most people did that. And it has been very, very surprising to me that only 4% of the people do that. And so I guess my plea is this morning, people, file your taxes quickly. So if you haven't filed them yet, please help us out. This is a good year to do that correctly.
Mike Bailey would say the same thing, although I'm not... You know, so anyway, that the use tax doesn't always get to the cities, but that's another story.
Okay, well, that's true. Yeah. So hopefully we can fix those kinks. But I'm working on this group that's looking at sales tax exemptions, which sales tax exemptions are very nice to have, and we want to make sure that Oklahomans understand them and use them correctly. One of the several of the exemptions that we have in the state are not exempted in nearby states, and we're hoping that in journeying on this route, in terms of looking at revenue, that this is something that helps everybody. This isn't something that this helps the counties and the cities. And you know, I for one, think that I am hoping that even in this down economy in Oklahoma, that we're not making the mistakes of our past, which is to go immediately to all these revenue sources that then never go away when things get better. So and we have people in the building that understand that and are looking at triggers to make sure that those things don't happen, the mistakes of our past. But for my sake, I'm thinking that we need to make sure that Oklahomans understand the taxes they need to be paying, the purpose of their exemptions, and make sure that everything's being done correctly.
Okay, well, gentlemen, we got a little bit of a late start, but Mr. Sears, I'll let you finish it up here.
Well, hey, I think Travis is going to have to bring this home, but this is once a year on Arbor Day, people from around the state comes to the Capitol and plants a tree. And there's Bartlesville for probably, I don't know how many years, but many, many years.
30,
I was going to say 30 plus.
Yeah, 32.
Okay, you went ahead and attended, correct? Yes, I did not get to go this year, but so let's let Representative Dunlap finish this. Bartlesville, once again, is a tree city, and we planted a tree on behalf of the people of Bartlesville in Oklahoma City, and so I'll let him finish with that. I just think that's a neat deal.
Okay.
Charlie, somebody has gone to the trouble to calculate the economic impact of one tree, and it's in the dozens of thousands of dollars over a long period of time. You know, you're talking over 50 years. But the power of that, the fact that it's environmentally, you know, reserving water, cleaning water, it is holding our soil here in place, and providing, of course, the benefits that it does for our air quality and things like that. But the fact that Bartlesville has been doing this longer than I've been alive, that point came out, is just a tremendous testimony to the people of this community. And so we commend those who are involved in that, and we want to commend those who take great care of their property here in this county. One of the things that's great about this county is we don't have much state owned land. Mm-hmm. It ends up that the state-owned land is some of the worst managed land in the state. And so in terms of trees and those and land management, those sorts of things. So but because we have not much of that here in this area, it's managed very well.
Okay. So, gentlemen, thank you very much. I appreciate your time, your weekly reports, and checking in with the listeners. Thanks so much to Phillip 66 for bringing you the program this morning. And that's Capital Call on your Friday morning on K1. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Charlie.
At Phillip 66 Gas, we strive to bring you the best in performance gasoline. But now-